day. Welcome to another episode of Diving with J9. Today in studio we have with us Ian Strusby. Did I say that correctly, Ian?
Very close to that. Well done, Janine.
How am I supposed to say
it? It's Strusby.
Strusby. Yeah. Okay, that's a tongue twister. But Ian, you are involved with one of South Africa's biggest motorsport events on the calendar. I think probably motoring events. And a lot of people don't know about it, even though it draws big crowds. But tell us how the Knysna Hill Climb came about.
So it came about in 2009, just after the financial crisis. Knysna's economy was built on tourism and construction, and both of those took quite a dive. And a couple of us got together and said, what can we do to, you know, bring some people to town? And one of the founders, there were three of us, yeah. He was building up Simola Hill, and he said, oh, there's a nice hill here. And I'd been involved with motorsport events before. I'd been involved in trying to bring a World Rally Championship to the country, yeah. And with the A1 Grand Prix and Superbikes, I'd been involved with that. So we kind of, the two of us initially formulated, and we said, okay, let's have a look and try and run a hill climb and see what happens. Yeah. And then we went to Simola and got permission there, and then we were going to the council. And funnily enough, at the same time, the local car club wanted to run a hill climb up Simola. And they went up to Simola and said, can we have permission? They said, but your guys were here 2 weeks ago. I said, no, not our guys. Anyway, so then we got together with them and the car club and Francis, who started with us, and myself, we wanted to build it into a big event if it worked in a bigger event. And the car club weren't interested. They just wanted something for their members, except the one gentleman, Chick Ramsey. And he said, oh, this is cool. He came from Scotland and he'd seen hill climbs when he was a kid growing up. So he said, I want to be involved. And so the three of us started it and formulated and kicked it off from there. And the first year we said, let's just see how it goes, if there's any uptake. Now, previously there had been series and then they had an unfortunate accident. Yeah. So initially Motorsport South Africa weren't too keen. Yes. It took a bit of convincing to get them to do it. And a big part of it was keeping spectators safe. And because we had the Simola Golf Club, we could put them behind fences and high up on the embankment. Yeah. They eventually said, yes, okay, we can do it. So we kicked off, and the first year I managed to get Saro from Amava there because I knew Saro well, and he won it, which was the best PR money you can't buy, you know. It was really brilliant. Everyone just enjoyed it, and Knysna as a destination was very cool. And so then we said, okay, well, let's carry on with it. So after that, we formulated a more of a longer-term plan.
Yeah.
But I must say, at the time, we also thought we would do like an Oyster Festival and do 10 days of motorsport. Yes. So we got a bit ahead of ourselves. And we, the next year, we organized a soapbox derby and a go-kart race around Teeson Island the week before. And we did 4x4 driving in the forest, and we did a 4x4 in a quarry. And we did that for 2 years, and we just, you know, we didn't have the resource, the human resource, and we didn't have the financial resource to. We're kind of stealing from the hill climb to pay for that. So after 2 years, we said, okay, let's call that quits, and we'll just focus on the hill climb, making it the best event we can make it. And, so long story, but that's how it came about.
It's amazing. So for those of us who don't know what the hill climb is, it's basically South Africa's version of the Festival of Goodwood. It's probably as close to that as what we'll get. But just in layman terms, explain what the hill climb is.
So hill climb is a time trial. So it's one car at a time over a piece of road, whatever it is. In America, they have much longer, bigger hills. So there, like Pikes Peak, which is probably the most famous hill climb, is 19 miles. Yeah. Goodwood's a bit shorter than we are at 2 kilometers. So in Europe, especially in England, the hill climbs are all very short because they don't have hills. So they're generally a mile or something like that. So it's a time trial, start at the bottom, finish at the top, and the fastest car wins, be it overall or be it in a class. So in a way, similar to rallying, where it's one car at a time through the forest and you set your time, that's what it is. But hill climbs actually one of the oldest forms of motorsport, if not the very oldest. So the hill climbs and racing from city to city were the early forms before there were racetracks. So it harks back a long way. And South Africa used to have a lot of hill climbs in the 30s and 40s and 50s. There was one at Camps Bay. Around the country, Durban had one in Cato Ridge, and Joburg had the Krugersdorp hill climb, was famous for a long time. But as racetracks developed and urbanization came, obviously they became a bit more difficult to be put on. And then also there was a part of a safety thing too, especially with city races, yes. You know, like the Mille Miglia in Italy.
Yeah.
Fantastic events, but the crowds were like right on the side of the road. And so when there were accidents, there were a lot of injuries. So I think from that point of view, hill climbs kind of died out a little bit.
Yeah.
Still fairly strong in Europe. There's a European Championship, so it's still quite strong in Europe. There are a few in America, not a lot. Pikes Peak is the well known one. Yeah. So our event is kind of between the Goodwood Festival Speed and Pikes Peak. So the Goodwood Festival Speed is very much more an exhibition.
Yes.
With a lot of razzmatazz. Yes. And Pikes Peak is purely sporting. And we kind of we are a competitive event with some razzmatazz. So when we saw in year two, and you said, "What do we want to do with this event?" We decided we wanted to make it a bit like the Durban July or the JNB Met, or should I say now the Sun Met of motorsports. So it's not just for petrol heads; it's a bit of a lifestyle event.
Yeah.
And Goodwood does that very well. So we stole a few ideas from Goodwood. Mm. I'd gone to Goodwood in 1999, so a long time ago, when it was only 5 years. It was the early days of Goodwood.
Yes.
I went back last year actually just to see how it had changed. Mm. So we kind of straddle between the two to have a bit of a mix of both sides of it. And it's worked quite well because we get a lot of people who come to the event who are not petrol heads as such, but they do come for the weekend. Nasda, as I said earlier, is a lovely destination.
Yeah.
So they enjoy coming to Nasda, and the wives enjoy coming. And, we've always focused on having really clean toilets and more than just the motorsport.
Yeah. And there's lots of nice oysters too.
And there's nice oysters, exactly.
So now, I know for the longest time it's been a 3-day event.
Yes.
Fridays, it's Classico Friday, and that's quite a big thing. And then there's the parade, which is really awesome because it feels like the whole town comes through and everybody, goes down to the little harbour jetty and...
Yes.
Just watch that display.
Yeah, so the parade's always been a big part of the event, and I've always believed in taking it to the people.
Yes.
And for those who can't afford, we keep our basic entry ticket as affordable as possible, but there are members of the community that can't afford that. So the parade's always been to expose them to the cars. They can come and see the cars, talk to the drivers, and then the parade itself has become quite spectacular with the burnouts and the smoke and the entertainment. So... It's for us as event organizers, it's the highest risk part of the event, but it is really super entertaining. And motorsport, we're in the entertainment business, so it's important to do that. That all combines very well. So initially we mixed classic cars and the faster cars, but we found that the competitors, some of them felt a bit intimidated, and with the older cars, they didn't want to do as many runs.
Yes.
So that's why we created Classic Car Friday to take the older cars and just give them one day of running and not such a high-pressure environment.
Yes, yes. But it always seems like sometimes the most exciting part of the event. But tell me, if someone's never been before, what do they need to know? Because this is a big event, and I think I've seen it grow every year. Like, the crowds are just getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
What is the spectator numbers looking at now? Because this is now its 15th year, right?
Correct, yes. It's event 15 over 17 years. So we didn't run it for two years. One was 2013. We had a sponsor pull out at the last minute.
Yeah.
And then COVID, obviously, we didn't run it. So I think this last year, we were very close to 20,000. We had 19,089 people over the weekend. And this year, we're going to be over 20,000, which has been one of our targets for a while. But our ticket sales are up on last year. Month on month and so on. I think the important thing for any spectators is to decide whether you're just a classic car enthusiast or like the faster spectacular cars or both.
Yeah.
You know? So either it's, do you come for a day, depending where you live, or do you come for the weekend and so on. And then I always recommend that the hill climb's cool in that you move around and see different places. So we have grandstand seating. We have the pit access. We've unfortunately had to limit pit access just because of the numbers.
Yes.
Already as it is, we allow 2,000 people into the pits, and the marshals are often saying there's too many people in the pits. And it just becomes difficult for the competitors to get out and to control things. So we've, purely from a safety point of view, we've had to limit numbers in the pits. So people can go online and buy tickets for the pits or grandstands up front. But the beauty about the hill climb is, you know, there's a lot of action throughout the day. Yeah. It's 6 or 8 hours of action, depending on which day. And I always suggest, initially I would have said walk up the hill, but now we have free shuttles supplied, so that makes it a lot easier. And just to find different spots and what they enjoy, you know. So yeah. Fortunately, there are areas you can see the cars for a fairly long, you know, run. And the cars are very quick. So for those who don't know, you know, it's 2 kilometers, just on 2 kilometers. Yes. Record speed is about 34 seconds and an average speed from a standing start of over 200 k's an hour. So it's a very, the fast cars are super fast. But I think it caters a bit for everybody. And I always say, just move around. There's a lot of activity. We have, you know, Monster at our turn two that do an activation, and we have activations higher up. We have the pits. So it's a nice mix. I always find Sunday is a really exciting day because the tension builds, and as we have the knockouts and the finals and so on, there's always this build of energy up to the final runs. I think, as advice to somebody that's probably, you know, decide whether you want to be on a grandstand or the embankment. You don't have to be on a grandstand to see anything. We have food and vendors and all sorts of things, so don't have to worry about that. Get there early and enjoy the day.
What are ticket prices like?
So the general basic entry is 140 rand, I think, this
That's
year.
Not
I
bad.
Should know. Yeah. We're kind of trying to keep it cheap, you know, as cheap as possible. And I've always believed in, you know, where people often say, oh, you can charge more. But I always believe in looking at a family. If you've got if you've got two, a wife or a partner, and two kids or three kids, you know, 140 on its own is not bad. But when you times it by four, plus then a burger and a beer and whatever the case, you know, by the end of the day, it is still a fair amount of money. So so we always try and keep the basic as cheap as possible. You know, over COVID and after that, we didn't increase prices on the basic level for a long time. And then people can upgrade. So grandstand cost, I think it's 230 rand a day for a grandstand seat, or the pits costs a bit as well. And then we also have hospitality, obviously, for people who want to be in hospitality. We have different hospitality packages. So there's quite a spread of options for different customers.
Lovely. Obviously, accommodation, Knysna is a beautiful place on its own. I would probably recommend people need to start booking now, Lily.
Absolutely. So a lot of, you know, the regulars book up a year in advance even. Yeah. So there is, I mean, Knysna fortunately does have a lot of B&Bs and a lot of accommodation, so there is still some availability.
Okay.
But if you want to go, I would suggest that the earlier you book, the better.
Yeah.
And there are two ways, either via our website, which is SimolaHillClimb.com. Okay. You can also get tickets via that. Or else Knysna Tourism. Visit Knysna is the website, and they've got all the options and all the guest houses and Airbnbs that are listed.
So I've seen a couple of title sponsors over the years. Tell me about the OEM involvement. I remember Leno, I think those were early days when Leno was a title sponsor. Because I remember a bunch of media, they let media do runs up the hill, because I still have my Knysna helmet and my racing.
I remember that,
So that was pretty awesome. And then Jaguar was a title sponsor for a long time.
So, yes. So we got Renault in from year two. Yes. And they were partners for 3 years. And then they dropped out. They'd agreed to continue, but they dropped out, change of management. That's the year we missed. And then we got Jaguar on board. And Jaguar is a great partner, helped us elevate the event. And Jaguar were our partner for 6 years, and then they actually wanted to continue, but we had a strategy change on our side.
Yeah.
Because having an OEM as a title sponsor, the other manufacturers and OEMs didn't really want to come and play. You know, Nissan were probably the only one who came in the official thing. So we said, you know, we want the other OEMs and importers to be involved in the event. So we took a strategic decision to not have a OEM as a title partner, try and get a neutral partner, a fuel company or an insurance company or a cell phone company. And then we offer different levels for the OEMs to be involved. And it's worked very well for us. You know, this year we've got eight OEMs with in various official activities. So a lot of them are just entries, but then the others are the tier two partners or tier one partners. So it's really worked well from that point of view. And you know the manufacturers and the OEMs well. You know, they also love to get behind something like this. And then they start, like Volkswagen did 2 years ago, and bring out international competitors and cars and so on. And that's really what we wanted to elevate the event and put it on the international map. So the strategy's worked well. The only part that hasn't is we, before COVID, we were close to signing a neutral title sponsor. And since COVID, sponsorship landscape has changed a little bit. So we haven't signed a title sponsor yet. But as it's structured now, we having multiple people involved does de-risk us a little bit. So we're not reliant on one title sponsor as before. So it's it has helped us the last few years since COVID to run the event and improve the event. It is a bit stressful because we do need a big gate to pay the bills, and that's always tricky. You know, in terms of sponsorship and events, the ideal scenario is to have 100 your costs covered 100% by sponsors.
Yes.
And then your gate is your profit.
Yeah.
We've maximum we've ever run is about 70% sponsorship cover. The last couple of years been about 50%, and this year we're down to about 30%. So it's, so the risk is obviously higher, and every year the budgets just go up and up and up.
Yeah.
You know, this event being in Eisner, we have to bring everything in. We use public land, so there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And we have to bring everything in. So so it's quite stressful from, you know, making it all work financially.
Yes.
You know, it's been a passion project for many, most of the time, I can honestly say that. But, you know, when we changed our strategy, we said, look, it also has to pay its way because it can't run an event of this size and have to subsidize it and so on. So it had to start paying its way, so we do that. But it's always a bit of a grit your teeth and hope for good weather and a good crowd.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's part of the game. Yeah. You know? We're not the only ones in that situation. If you look globally, you know, sponsorship for events, and that's been challenging in a lot of fields. And in South Africa, you know, the big three sports get the bulk of the money, and the rest of this minor sports scrabble around for the bits and pieces.
So which manufacturers are involved, if I may ask?
So this year we've got Alfa Romeo. Okay, we've got BMW. We've got Mercedes, we've got Opel, we've got Suzuki, we've got Volkswagen, we've got, I've missed one, MG.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. I think I've mentioned, is that all of them? I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
I might have missed somewhere along the line. So, yeah, so it's fantastic from that point of view, you know, just to have that spread of OEMs involved.
Very, quite some interesting names there.
Mm.
But tell me, it's also an opportunity for those manufacturers to showcase their new vehicles. Yeah. And I think what also is great is that automakers like BMW and MG, which also has an electric vehicle, bring electric vehicles to a platform where most people probably wouldn't have access to it. And are they still doing like test runs, or not test runs, spectator runs?
Yes.
Like display runs, basically.
Yeah. So, so to that point, it's great. We've got a strong EV class this year, which is going to be very interesting. So, depending on what tier of partners they get access. We obviously time limited lunchtime and so on. So the OEMs that are tier one and tier two partners, they get runs up the hill. They get some cars for VIP runs,
okay,
and
nice.
It is part of the experience and so on. So yes, we have got manufacturers that are OEMs that are you know, will be involved with runs up the hill at lunchtime.
Yeah,
and I think, I mean, again, the event, you know, we've always try to give it a platform for the OEMs, because a lot of, sadly, track race is not what it used to be. And I don't want to sound old and say the good old days, but, you know, there's not a lot of classes that they can bring a car off the showroom floor and run it in an event. And we provide that platform. So we provide a platform for them to, in whatever class it is, to showcase their cars. And then to also put people in seats and be part of the fun.
Yeah.
So it works well for them. And so we've worked hard to try and provide that platform to get them involved.
And also the event's going, like I said, and it's drawing big names. I think the Hansen brothers were there last year. There was Mika Salo, who was a guest with VW and so forth. But there's more and more people saying they only want to come to this event because it's just so awesome.
Yeah.
And also our own guys, our own local races. I mean, Franco Scribanti takes, you know, the record. And I think it's, even though he wins a lot, people want to see if he'll be consistent and so forth.
Yeah. So absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we've got a lot of interest from overseas. One of the challenges, so the manufacturer, the OEMs obviously help on that level, bringing out cars. But there are a lot of, like, top European champions that would like to come. We're trying to work to get partners, like a courier company or a airline company, because a lot of, you know, we're in May and the European season starts shortly after. So the guys can't put their cars on ships and that. So so they want a bit of assistance. They don't have the money to fly a car here and fly it back, a lot of them. So we're trying to work some deals that we can offer them a package with some assistance to get cars in and out.
Okay.
We've also been speaking to a few more ex-Formula One drivers to get them in here. The challenge is to find nice cars for them. They're all very competitive and they want to drive a competitive car. So that's a challenge on that level. But they'd like to come. You know, it's on the map. They know about the event. You know, I've spoken to a lot of guys. Yes, we know about it. I spoke to Travis Pastrana at Goodwood Festival.
Yes.
He's like, yeah, I know all about it because I'm mates with Peter. I'd love to come. Mm. So that's really nice, you know, to be in that position. It's just we need to get the mechanics right to get them into good cars and get them out here. But I mean, it's super from that point of view. And then locally too, you know, we oversubscribed this year again.
Really?
I mean, the very difficult thing is we limited our space to the number of cars we can run, and also having enough runs for each competitor. So, you know, this year we had to turn away 31 cars, and that's always very difficult because they're nice cars and they're people that have been involved for a long time, and, you know, they get quite offended if they're not invited back.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always use a movie analogy. You know, we need Julia Roberts and Tom Cruise, the stars, and then the supporting cast and the theme needs to change every year.
Yes.
And, you know, people come to the event to see nice new cars. They don't want to see the same cars every year because then it gets boring. So we have to balance it out. And we always look at so many different factors, you know, what the car is, who the drivers are, how many cars in that class, how many cars of a particular brand are in that class, because you said I want 10 of one brand and none of the others and drop off the others. So it's always a balancing act, and unfortunately we can't accommodate everybody.
Yeah.
We'd love to, but it is just one of those things, you know, you sometimes you become a victim of your own success somehow, and so we hate to disappoint anybody, but it's just the reality of the event, you know, that we have to.
I never thought about that. So you actually look at the entry list, so you basically need to apply.
Correct, so it's an invitational event, so people, drivers, competitors give us a intent, we call it an intent to enter, so they submit their cars and what their details, intent to enter, and then we look at it and say okay, let's look at, as I say, according to those criteria I just mentioned, and then we pick what we always think is in the best interest of the event, you know, and that's what we do.
And the date, is it 3 to 5 May?
So this year's the 1st to 4th of May. It's always the first weekend of May. Again, we're stealing a bit from the Durban July because everybody knows the Durban July is the first Saturday in July, and it just makes planning a lot easier, you know.
Yeah.
So we always say the first full weekend in May. And so we've got dates, you know, you can book for 5 years in advance if you want to, because you know when it's going to be. And it just makes it so much simpler. From all accounts,
And what number of races are we expecting to see? So how many drivers are there on Classic Friday and then for the rest of the weekend? Yeah.
So Classic on Friday, we limit to 65 entries.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the rest of the weekend, it's 84 entries. And again, we limit Classic on Friday. We could accommodate 84, but then they'd get less runs up the hill. So obviously, coming to NAS is quite expensive for the competitor as well, so we're very cognizant of that.
Yeah.
So running 65, they get a good number of runs up the hill that gives value for money.
Mm-hmm.
And then because King of the Hill has 2 days of racing, 84 cars, they still get enough runs over the weekend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, it has up to 148 entries, 148 different cars over the weekend.
It's definitely petrolhead heaven. There's a lot to do, and there's always cars revving, and it's just such an awesome event. And I think it's also become one that's not just for petrolheads, like you said. it's for families, and it's just a great event to go to. But as it gets bigger, I've noticed there's a lot more planning that goes into it. Are you involved with all the businesses around, like Simola, the hotel, the resort is there, and how's that all related and all the businesses around it? And the kind of planning, like you said, there are now shuttles, which I think people are very grateful for. When I think of in the beginning when we had to walk all those ways. How does it all tie in?
Yeah, so it's we obviously, there's so many stakeholders in terms of putting the event together, so it does take a lot of planning. You know, we plan, I mean, some of the planning is 18 months in advance in terms of what we want to do, and we work on it all year round. We obviously, Simola's an absolutely key, stakeholder, because we use their property to come back, and we use their property for spectators and so on, parts of it. So they're key stakeholder, as are the other residents around there. You know, obviously we're blocking off the road and access and so on, so that, and there are one or two businesses up there. But over the years, with the success of the event and the business has seen the impact on the town, they've really embraced it, and it's a lot easier. When we first started it, we had a bit of resistance. People were like, "Oh, we're a mountain biking town. We're a forestry. We're a green town, and we're mountain biking, and we're running in the Oyster Festival." So there's a bit of resistance. But as I say, as I've seen the impact of the event on the town, you know, we're the biggest economic generator in town now, more than the Oyster Festival. Oyster Festival, most of the people come are participants, so they don't party up a storm, whereas we have very few participants, but a lot of people come in for a weekend of festivity, and so the restaurants do very well and so on. So it's a very strong input into the economy. So we get a lot less resistance. People are very happy to have us bring the team to town, and just the energy. You know, it's good for the town to just have that vibe and energy that's around. You know, there's always a lot of negativity to see the cars and experience it. It's become quite welcomed by everybody in town.
And then just lastly, who can we expect to see on the grid this year?
So we haven't released the entry list quite yet. Mm. But what I can say is that there is an international driver coming, a world champion, multiple world champion in one of the fields. we will have our local favourites. Andre Besaidnat in the single-seater. We'll have some competition this year for the top speed, so I can tell you that much. In a little while, I can come in again and tell you more, let you know. So we've got a good field and some really nice cars. I think people will be excited by it. Unfortunately, I'd love to tell you more, but until we publish the official result, we have to kind of keep it under wraps.
Okay. I'm so excited, and I hope I can get to attend this year. But thank you so much for coming in, Ian. We really loved having you here today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. It's been lovely to chat to you and tell you all about our event. So thank you. And I'm sure we'll see you then in May. Yes. super. Thank you, Janine.
Thank you, Ian. And that's it. Join us again in 2 weeks for the next episode of Driving with J9.